Before the cacophony pulls you back in a sonic storm built to grab your listeners' pulse and pull them in.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show where we get businesses going where they want to go. If you are looking to stay the same today, please shut this podcast off because this will be worthless. We are trying to grow. This is the podcast where we bring on businesses to talk about their origin story, where they came from, how they got there, why they're in the industry, and also some of their challenges and the things that they want to do to grow and scale their business. So I am your host, Lauren Howard, along with
Coach Dan Callahan. Welcome, everyone. Get ready for some incredible breakthroughs, some ideas for your business to get you from where you are to where you want to be faster, with less stress, more fun. Buckle up. This is the Better Business Podcast. Welcome, everybody.
All right, everybody. You're gonna be happy about this one. Our guest today is in the HVAC industry, which means heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. And their life at home is a little chaotic. They got three kids and a growing family, which is always a hell of a thing to do and deal with, but he's doing it. And he has some noticeable skills such as friend building and dirt bike riding. He also is an extremely passionate person about his industry. And so that's why we had to bring him on. He's a great business owner and a friend. Introducing Matthew Byack from Elite Comfort. How's
What's
it going,
up, guys?
Matt?
Hey, Matt. Don't forget about the two dogs, man. That's part
of
it.
Oh, yeah. I can't forget about the dogs.
You didn't have enough on your hands, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So what's going on, Matt? How are you doing? How do you feel being on the podcast?
Dude, I'm excited, man.
Are you?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Being in business, doing it kind of by myself, having some people help me out. It's a lot, but made some time to come in here and get this done. You know what I mean? So I'm excited to, if I can add some value to someone who's going to be in a similar journey, and then get some value added to myself too, hear what you guys have to say.
Yeah, dude. Oh, dude. And hopefully we can do the same. So, I think just to start off, just tell us a bit about like your personal story, just a little bit more about who you are, where you came from, some of your hobbies, what you like and stuff like that.
Yeah. Growing up, I lived in, out in the suburbs a little bit, kind of sheltered. My parents were extremely religious. So we didn't really get to see a lot of movies or go out and hang out with a lot of people. So I really kind of latched on to how things work. I love taking things apart, seeing how they work, putting them back together. My parents always instilled in us that, we fix things, we don't throw things out. So that really kind of got my mechanical brain going at a very young age. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yep. I loved Lego sets. I'd build all kinds of crazy stuff. Just kind of got through high school. my cousin asked me and said, "Hey, what are you going to do after you get out of school?" And I said, "I don't really know, man. I haven't really thought about it." I was like, "What do you think I should do?" You know what I mean? And he's like, "Well, I think you should do HVAC because it's really easy and you make a lot of money doing it." And
it's a pretty good sales pitch.
Yeah, it is a pretty good sales pitch.
especially when you're just getting started finding a career.
Yeah, exactly. And truth be told, it's not really easy. And you can make really good money, but you got to know the right way to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You really got to have that that attention to detail, and you got to have that drive to really, push the envelope and bring your customers, top of the line services.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To really make the money. So
definitely.
Yeah. So tell us, how'd you get to this position in your career? What was that journey like?
Well, so my family, there's a lot of entrepreneurs in my family. So I always wanted to start an HVAC business. After my cousin said, "What are you doing?" And then I said, "Okay, I'll go to school for HVAC and get into the field." One of the things was I'd see these HVAC business owners driving around with their fancy cars and their huge houses. And I'm like, man, I want that. You know what I mean? So like right from the rip, it was always, you know, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to learn how to do HVAC and then I'm going to start my own business. Right. Mm. And then, I went to work for a company and it was a great company to start out working for because we did a lot of work. We did a lot of things over and over and over and over again, like a lot of repetitious stuff.
A lot of ditto.
Yeah. And so like I was able to like really master a lot of skills pretty quickly. And then the dream of owning a business kind of died a little bit for me. I think because of how much you have to put into being an HVAC tech.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of hours, you know, you work a ton of hours. It's hard work. you know, you're ripping 700-pound boilers out of a basement. You know, it's tough. And I think it kind of died for me for a little while. Mm. And then it, you know, the money wasn't enough at one point. And I was like, man, I really kind of want to get back to that. You know, look at that sweet car that guy's driving and that huge house that he's living in. You know what I mean? And then I went to go work for my wife's uncle. And the agreement that we had was, hey, you know, he wants to retire in 5 years or so. So he'll sell or finance me the company. And, you know, he'd bring me on and he would teach me the ropes. And then I would buy the company from him. That'd be his retirement. And then that would be my next step.
Yeah.
Mm. And it was going pretty good for a while. And then the more I worked for him, the more I realized that our timelines weren't lining up. You know what I mean? Like he was really not ready to retire in the amount of time that I was really wanting to start taking over the company. Yeah. You know what I mean? Start making some good money. So Lauren here, I kept busting my door down saying, dude, what are you doing? Come work for CH Nickerson, this company. They need someone to start an HVAC division for them. And it's great pay, dude. It's great pay. It's going to be awesome. You got to come here. I was like, fine. I'll talk to the guy, right? So I talked to Mr. John Russo, and he sold me within like 5 minutes of me walking in the door.
Of course he did.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it was hard. It was really hard leaving that company because, you know, he's family. He's a super cool guy to work for. You know, definitely the best boss I ever worked for. He let me take my time. He really let me, like, perfect my craft. And because of that, we had really high end clientele, you know what I mean? So people that really valued the attention to detail and they really valued, the quality of work, you know, those were the people that we were serving a lot. So it was really cool. You know, I was working in a lot of celebrity houses, working in a lot of like historic houses and stuff like that is really fascinating to me. And I take a lot of pride in doing it. Mm. So anyways, I left there, went to work for Nickerson for a while. That worked out. It was working really good for a while. And then the company kind of started like self-sabotaging.
Yeah.
They didn't have like really good systems in place. The company culture was not really where it needed to be. And the HVAC division there was starting to fizzle out.
Yep.
And I saw the writing on the wall. And I was just like, man, if this is the time to do it, like this is when I need to jump. I need to just jump all in and I need to start my own business. Nice. So first I was like, you know what? I'm going to go do what's comfortable. I'm going to go back to Bob and I'm going to say, hey, Bob, are you like ready to sell this company like anytime soon? Because I'm going to be leaving this company and I'm either going to be starting my own company or I'm going to be buying this company from you, which was our original agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? And he was kind of hemming and hawing and I could just tell he still wasn't ready.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that's when I was like, all right, I'm jumping in. I'm going to do this on my own.
Oh yeah.
So that was about a year and a half now ago. So
nice.
Yeah.
Dude. That's a journey, man.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I mean, as far as how much things you bounced around from, I mean, definitely got your money's worth of experience in different things, you know?
Well, that's the thing too, you know, like, you know, people that I'll say this to people that are bouncing around companies or like thinking about leaving their company, going to another one, you know, every company that I've worked for, I have taken significant value from that company.
Yeah. Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Even if you work for a bad company, like there's people there that are really good at yep. something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if it's the guy that you're working next to, you know, you can say this guy is really good at X, Y, and Z, but they're not good at A, B, and C.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take their X, Y, and Z and I'm going to add it to myself.
Mm.
And the stuff that they're not good at, I'm going to try to push that away. Mm. So you can do that with the technicians that you're working next to. And you can also do that with the companies as a whole.
Right.
You know, so for example, like the first company that I worked for, they were really good at doing things that were very repetitious. And so because of that, I was able to figure out the fastest ways to get something accomplished.
Yep. Yeah.
In like almost like an assembly line fashion. Yeah. And I use that almost everywhere
yeah.
to this day.
Yeah.
Right?
Super important to get the reps in.
Right. So exactly.
You've got the muscle memory. And
yeah.
Especially because your business is so much based on efficiency now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's second nature to you. So that's huge.
Yeah. And I really saw that with like a lot of apprentices that I worked with that didn't work there. Where like it was hard for them to work on something like say a mini split install and then go do a boiler the next day and then go do an air handler the day after that and then go back to a mini split install like 4 days later. It's almost like they lost like that repetition mm-hmm. of knowing exactly what to do next without even having to think about it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cause they had to bounce around. So
exactly.
They lost it by yeah. the time they got back to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was able to take from the first company.
Yeah.
You know, the second company, I was able to learn how to present people with different options instead of holding their problem hostage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was
That's
able
a good
to say,
way of putting it.
We could do this, we could do this, or we could do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that way they can decide exactly what they want to do. And that was something huge that I learned from them.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah, and then, big sales tactic.
Yeah. The yeah. third company, I really learned how to take my time and really like perfect my craft and like really like high attention to detail and like talk to people that are, you know, famous or extremely wealthy.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
newsflash, they're just like you and me.
Yeah. We're all just people. Yeah. So.
Exactly.
And they're cold or hot. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And interesting to hear you talk about, you know, the different company cultures too. I think that for the entrepreneurs that are listening to this, that gets short shrift a lot of time and people kind of glaze over it and they like, you know, stamp it on the wall
yeah.
and people kind of roll their eyes at it. But like, that's why people lose high performers like you.
Right? Yeah.
Because company culture is so important.
Yeah. Company culture is almost everything.
Yeah.
You know, the first company that I left, you know, when I started working there, the company culture there was like electric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody was like rooting for each other and everybody was jumping in the fire to help each other. And, like, you know, we would work all day and then we'd call around and say, "Hey, are you done with your job yet?"
Mm-hmm.
"No, we're not. Actually, we need X, Y, and Z." And we'd go get it and bring it to them.
Yep.
It could be 11 o'clock at night. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was leaving until everybody was done.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it was. And then it eroded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It eroded pretty badly. And then, that's, you know, it's not the reason why I left, but, you know, it's something that I noticed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Eats you up a little bit.
Yeah. 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 It was pretty sad.
And just the opportunity cost and how much it costs to bring a new employee on, get them profitable. It just, if you're not taking care of your people can't take care of your customers and the business isn't taking care of.
So. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. The culture is something, it's like, you know, you say it to somebody, they'll either don't understand or they're like, yeah, What is that? Who cares about that?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because they think it's something that's just stupid. Or,
well, it's hard to see culture in the numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. when you're a business owner and you're just staring at spreadsheets all day.
Yeah.
You know, what's the cost code for culture?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? What's the KPIs for culture?
Yeah.
And I think that's why people don't invest as much time as they do with it. But, you know,
yeah.
Peter Drucker, I think, said, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast, right? So we
yeah.
focus so much on the, oh, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. We don't focus on, this is who we need to be.
Yeah.
This is
right.
the synergy we need to create.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing that's missing. And it hurts companies from growing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, Matt, so now that you're in business, you know, you've got your thing going. You said you've been going for about a year and a half now. What makes your business unique? You know, what do you do differently or better than the competition or even the companies that you used to work for that you've, you know, brought, you bring to the table now with your company?
Yeah. So I think it's really kind of like what I was saying before, you know, I really took, you know, all the key features from all the companies that I worked for, like all their, the things that made them great, and incorporated it into my own company. So, you know, the first one, you know, efficiency, you know, knowing how to get things done as efficiently as possible. Not holding their problem as a hostage, you know, delivering to them different options. We could do this. We could do this. Because you never know what someone's situation is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they might be wanting to live in the house for the next 60 years. They might want to sell the house in a year. So, so you don't know exactly where they're at.
Yeah.
The next one is, you know, attention to detail, you know, really kind of looking at the whole system from a 10,000 foot view, I like to say. Mm-hmm. So being able to have the time to say, what do we have going on here? What systems are interacting with other systems? What systems may be hurting other systems? What's going on here, big picture?
Yeah.
Instead of just focusing on the problem and getting out as fast as possible and getting to the next job.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that's a huge like detriment.
Yeah, it's like the doctor going in and doing surgery and then, you know, sees a whole bunch of cancer in there, but he goes, yeah, well, I'm only here for a, I'm only here for a shoulder replacement, so I'm just going to leave all this in here and sewing you up and then telling you later. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
No, we'll let you find out about it later.
Yeah, we'll let you find out. Yeah. And then later you're like, oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And then who are they going to get pissed at? It's going to be you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, why didn't you say anything?
Yeah, yep. And then the other thing is like, you know, my last company was really being able to understand the numbers, you mm-hmm. know, like how to put bids together and how to interact with customers on a deeper, like more business like level. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's what I was able to add from the last company.
Nice.
So
cool, man.
Yeah, it's working out pretty good.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
Yeah, it's working out pretty good for me.
So cool. now that you've kind of gotten this rolling, like what's your goal? So where do you want this thing to go?
So my vision for this company is I want to have somewhere around 10 techs in the field, 2 CSRs answering the phone, 1 service manager, and then me working on the business or working in the business, kind of filling in as needed. But really getting it designed so that I can step away from the company and, either start another copy and paste another branch somewhere else mm-hmm. that may be a little bit outside of my territory, or who knows, you know, but that for this business, that's what I want to do.
Mm. Do you have a timeline?
I'm thinking 5 years.
5 years
is what nice. Is what I'm shooting for. So, well, another 3.5 now. 5 years from the start, right?
Yeah. And I love what you said about kind of the copy and paste method too, because I think a lot of business owners are like, oh, I can't grow a $25 million business. And you're like, all right, well, can you build five $5 million businesses?
Yeah, right.
Five different locations, right? That's a lot more feasible. And then once you've got the system down, it's like, great, rinse and repeat.
Right? Yeah. I want the company to have like a small town feel to it. And I'll, you know, all my techs, I want them to be like top performers, you know, so going back to company culture, like that's something that I'm really going to lean into to like hire the best techs and retain them. You know what I mean? Cause I want the company to have that small town feel. I think for this area, like in Connecticut, like a lot of people really value that Absolutely. Feeling over like a big name brand company that's like heavy on advertising or heavy on just shouting from the rooftops. We're the biggest name in town. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think around here, people are really more like into like knowing the guy that comes to their house or like knowing that the guy that comes and works on their stuff, he lives in town.
Right. You see him at the deli.
Yeah. You see him at the deli. You see his kids at school, you know, his wife and your wife, they go to PTO together.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's like the kind of feel that I'm going for with the company. So,
yeah, that's awesome. So, what's your annual revenue from last year now? Like where are you at now?
So last year I did, about 425,000.
Nice.
Yeah. Great.
And what was your like main service/product that you provided last year to get to that?
So most of it was tune-ups, believe it or not.
Oh,
okay. Just cleaning services. Yeah. My tune-up is super, super in-depth. You know, I go in there and, I do literally everything that you're supposed to do, which takes about 2 hours. Yep. It's not a 30-minute in-and-out thing.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of components that you're supposed to test. You're supposed to verify that they're working correctly. Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of things that are not correct. They're not working correctly, or it's going to be an issue in the future. And I simply present that to the customer and I say, listen, I tested X, Y, and Z. This stuff isn't working right. This we need to replace, or this it can wait, but we should replace it. And people want it fixed.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they don't want to call me in the middle of the night because their heat goes down and it's -5 degrees outside.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want them to call me in the middle of the night when it's -5 degrees outside. I want to stay in bed asleep so I can go to work the next day and bring that same value to the next customer.
Right.
You know, so the way I look at it is I would rather find everything that's wrong with their system while I'm there because it gets overlooked. Like you would not even believe.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely. That's between that, fixing installs that other companies have done and they've just lost all their faith in the company because they have to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back and they can never get it right. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a bunch of that stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's been awesome, man.
That's where the in-depth tune really gets you.
Yeah. The high attention to detail really separates me from the pack in that aspect.
Because they're just going through the motions.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is, dude, is, you know, a lot of these companies, there is like probably 10% of their employees that have that same mindset, but they just, the company can't afford them the time to do that because they have so much going on. And in their mind, they're trying to put out so many fires that they pull people off these jobs prematurely, or they don't give them the time to do these in-depth tune-ups and make sure it's done the right way.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And yeah, and people are willing to pay for quality, right? Like it's,
yeah.
Like I love the story of, you know, there's this like discount hair salon that opens up next to, you know, the barbershop, and they got this huge sign advertising, oh, we give $15 haircuts. Right. And then the barbershop just puts up a sign, we fix $15 haircuts.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I love that.
Right. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know, I've had customers, I gave a quote to a lady to do some work that she needed done. And my bid came in, I think, 5 times what the other person's bid was. And I was going over it with her. You know, I wrote it up. Set up a phone call with her so I could send it to her. We could go over it on the phone together. So if she had any questions, and we're talking about it, it's her and her husband, and they're like, yeah, it looks good. Looks good. And then they're like, you know, the other company is like a fifth of what your cost is. Why do you think that is? And I was like stunned. Yeah. I didn't even know what to say for a second. They're like, hello, are you still there?
Hello.
Hello. And I was like thinking about it in my mind. I'm like going over like all the numbers of the material costs. And I was like, I can't even buy the material for that cost.
Right.
Like I have no idea how they would be able to provide that quote to you.
Yeah.
And she ended up going with me because she said every single time they come here, they leave and we're not happy with them.
Yep.
So that in itself is a testament to slowing down, taking your time, attention to detail, and providing the best value.
And charging the right amount of money so that you can do that and not feel like you're killing yourself
for not
enough money.
Right. And you know, that same lady, actually, she had some she had some problems come up with that system after I worked on it. And I went back there basically for free because it's built into the price already. Yep. And I found that the boiler was installed incorrectly from, like, 20 years ago, and these plastic chunks had made their way down and clogged up these pumps that I put in. Mm. And I cleaned it all and I got it all set for her for no cost because it was already built into the price that if something like that ever happens down the line, we can just take care of it.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that to her, she was like so blown away and so happy by it. Like she's literally a customer for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have it. She gave me a key to her house. She's like, here's a key to my house. Come and go as you need to. Nice.
That's you know? Awesome. Yeah. I think that's such a struggle for a lot of entrepreneurs too. Just not valuing their time, right?
Yes.
Not valuing themselves at the right level. And it's like, well, how can I charge for, you charge me $400 for an hour's worth of work? Like, no, I charged you for the 15 years of expertise that I've built up. So I do this perfectly an hour for you.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for the peace of mind that, you know, you're not going to wake up at 2 a.m. and it's 12 degrees in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I do, you know, people that are thinking about doing their business or like they're doing like side work, for example, or they're, you know, it's a one man show in their business and they tell me like, you know, what their rates are. And I ask them like, what are you worth? Like, what is your time worth to you? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, why are you charging that? And you're telling me that you're not getting by, you're struggling to get by.
Yeah.
Why? For what?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring the value that you want to bring and charge accordingly.
Yep.
Yeah.
And everybody is going to be happy.
Yeah.
There's like a little bit of an awkward moment, maybe like when you present the price and it's, and then you explain yourself and you're good.
Right.
They either say yes, or they say, hey, why don't we go with a cheaper option?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because maybe I don't want to do this really expensive option right now. This cheaper option makes more sense for me. And that's where having like the three options comes in like big time.
Big time.
Really helps out. Yeah. You know,
they choose their poison, but they also choose their budget.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. All right, Matt. So let's talk about your target market. So who makes an ideal customer for you?
Yeah. So my target market is, is, you know, really those people that are, they're not price shopping. They want the value. They don't want to, you know, buy a fix for a problem and then have to worry about it in a month or 2 months. Mm-hmm. They want me to come in and fix it and then not have to worry about it till next year. You know, middle class, people that value their time, they look at it like I could fix this myself maybe, but I could make more money in my job.
Yes.
And then pay him to fix it. And then I don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's a really good target market. Obviously people that are extremely wealthy, that's a pretty good market. So,
yeah. So where are your marketing efforts going at the moment? Like what kind of campaigns are you doing and what are you, you know, where are you marketing? Stuff like that.
Yeah. So right now, you know, I'm doing a lot of, business networking. So obviously part of the BNI business group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been working out pretty good for me. Been getting a lot of business for that. And then, also providing a lot of value to my customers by being able to connect them with like-minded entrepreneurs, which is a really good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't really think about it so much like that. Like people just think about it like, what am I getting from it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I also look at it like, what can I provide to my customers? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm doing a lot of stuff on Facebook. My wife is starting to post for me 3 times a week.
Right.
So I've been getting a lot of traction with that. A lot of people will say, oh, I saw your post. That was pretty funny. You know, I get a lot of dialogue about it, which is really good. So I know a lot of people are seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Networking with, you know, a lot of plumbing companies, oil delivery companies. That's a really good one for me.
Right.
Cause a lot of oil delivery companies, like they have guys that like, you know, they'll do bleed and starts or like they'll do tune-ups, but they don't really like want to get into the nitty gritty of like fixing stuff or like being on the hook to fix stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not where they make their money.
Replacements.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They really make their money delivering and then, you know, and they want to focus on that business model, which, you know, obviously we know being in business, we don't want to diversify into too many things.
Yes. Do you know what I mean? Core competencies.
Yeah, exactly. So better to focus on one thing and really just build that out.
And I think the networking piece is so huge too. And I think a lot of people in the trades just, they glaze over that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
oh, that definitely. Even, why am I networking? I'm in the trades.
Yeah.
But to your point where it's just focus on the most important things in your business. And then you're adding value to your customers by having other professionals like Prestige Plumbing to come in and do the other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have the target market of people who don't have time and they have more money and they may be wealthy, typically networking is where you're going to meet all those people because they're business owners.
Yeah.
And they literally are those people. They don't have time to be fixing their own stuff and dealing with any of that crap. They just want it solved and they want it now. And
yeah.
You're there
And they probably have wealthy friends too.
And they probably have wealthy friends.
That probably have heating, cooling, and plumbing issues also.
Oh yeah.
Yep. You know, it's funny. I ran into a oil driver the other day, and I'm like, man, I'm just gonna go over there and give him some of my business cards. You know what I mean? And it's like, you're in this big rush because it's in the middle of the day and you're like trying to get to the next job. I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna take my time here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go over to him. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to give him a couple cards and I'm going to say, hey, dude, you know, if you have any overflow or do you even do service, like send your calls my way. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I go over and I'm talking to him and he goes, yeah, you know, I've seen your stuff on Facebook and yeah, it's pretty cool, man. But, you know, if I hear anything bad, I'm taking these all and I'm throwing them out. I'm like, well, you won't hear anything bad. So
you're my guy then.
Yeah. I just thought that was really funny.
Do you have a referral program?
Yeah, I'm actually, I just started it up with, that's actually one of the ways that I got my wife to start posting on Facebook.
Oh,
was.
Incentive.
Yeah, so I said, any referral I get off of Facebook, I'll give you $50, right?
Yep.
So now she's digging into it. So yeah, any referrals we get, you know, now moving forward, you know, if they say, hey, this person sent me or this company sent me or whatever, we're going to send them out a $50 gift card.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. I found this spot actually that you can custom print gift cards. So like nice. I can print on the gift card my logo with Elite Comfort on it.
Oh, sick.
And then when they go to swipe it, maybe someone's like, dude, what is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, oh yeah, it's this company. They do $50 referrals. You know what I mean?
Gift cards. Hey, man, that's cool.
So we'll see how it works.
But, right. Hey.
Yeah, but that's pretty much all I'm doing for, you know, marketing and referrals right now. Obviously, I had someone build a website for me, and, mm-hmm. and you know, she did a fantastic job. So I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about that. Mm-hmm. You know, but just being me, just right now, you know, I think, you know, that would have tapped my marketing budget because, you know, you got to think about it. Like, you know, when you're networking, like that time has a dollar sign attached to it. You know,
learned
I mean?
Well,
definitely.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So then how much would you say you're spending to achieve the revenue you're getting with the marketing you're doing then?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I'm not really 100% sure, but I would, you know, I would say it's probably, you know, probably like 10% of my budget.
Okay.
I would say.
Yeah. So,
you know, 10 to 15. It's like one day I'm worth $200 an hour. The next day I'm worth $25 an hour, depending on what I bill out. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's almost impossible to say. I don't really have any metrics to keep track of it right now.
Mm. So got to get that down.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
got to figure that part out.
Yeah. When I start getting some more people in, you know. Right now, just wearing all the hats, it's like I'm trying to do as much as I can with what I can do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What's going to give me the most return?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think like tracking that at this point is probably not that.
Yeah. And if you're not doing any large campaigns, I mean, I could see how it'd be easier to just lose track, especially if it's mostly time and efforts. But yeah.
Yeah. But I'd say, you know, for, you know, anyone, you know, starting out, you know, what I would do and what I did do is, you know, I went on, I created a Facebook page for my business. And then, you know, I shared it to my page and then I literally called up every single person that I knew. And I said, hey, dude, you know, I'm starting this company. Can you go on Facebook and share it so that all your friends and your family know that, you know, I'm going off on my own and I'm, you know, I need work.
Yeah.
Let's get the phone ringing. You know right. what I mean? So it's a really good way to get the awareness rolling.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then great. I think the consistent posting is a big thing too.
Definitely.
Like even if you're posting and you don't see any calls from that post, people see it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you just got to keep doing it. It's just, you keep doing it. And then all of a sudden a problem comes along and someone's like, hey, I know that company.
Yeah.
I know who I'm going to call. I see him posting all the time. I'll give him a shot. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think people get discouraged because they get no likes and they get five views and they get this and that. But in reality, it's just, dude, the consistency, they see it. They just go right by it because they don't need it.
Right.
But when they do, it better be there.
Right. Exactly.
And if you're not consistent, it won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone else's will be.
The only good marketing is consistent marketing.
Right.
So yeah. If you have X amount of hours in a week or a month, all right, what's the plan, right? What's your marketing plan, and execute on that plan consistently.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest bang for my buck right now, because not really having like a ton of capital to start spending on marketing. It's like, what can I do for free or almost free that I can literally just trade my time for?
Yeah.
It's, you know, beautiful. What I mean?
Well, once you get results too, if you're measuring them, then you know that you can actually capitalize. And imagine if what you found to do for free, imagine if you spent money on that thing.
Right. Yeah.
Because then you definitely know it's going to work.
Yeah. Another thing that I've been getting a really good return on is yard signs.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Yeah. They're great.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I get people messaging me, "Hey man, I saw your yard sign." I'm like, "Cool."
I'm like, "I know."
Do you like, is your heat good?
Yeah.
They're like, "No, yeah, everything's great. I just want to let you know I saw it." Yeah. I'm like, "Oh dude, that's awesome." You know?
Oh yeah.
And, you know, when it got cold and the ground froze, I bought a hammer drill.
Yep.
Nice.
So just I could drill the dirt out and still put my yard sign out there, which I'm pretty sure everyone stopped doing because they said, "Well, the ground's frozen, so I don't have to put my yard sign out
wait
anymore.
Wait till spring."
Yeah, well, wait till spring. But no, dude, you got to keep getting them in the ground, man. You know, because people do see them.
And you're doing a lot of work when it gets cold. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A lot of signs to put out.
Yeah, are you capturing where your leads are coming from, the different lead sources?
I'm just starting to, yeah. Okay. So that was like part of the thing with the Facebook referral or any of the referrals. So, you know, through my CRM, I have metrics where the girl Sarah, who answers the phone for me, she'll ask, "Hey, how did you hear about us?" You know, in her human way, not sounding like a robot.
Yeah.
And then you know, she goes in there and she got like drop downs and that she can click, or like she'll write in this person. So you know, now Friday it's built into my schedule where I go and I look at where did all the leads come from, so I can start gaining visibility on it and actually giving people the referral money that I promised them.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta fulfill the promise, otherwise it won't work out.
Yeah.
What CRM are you using?
Jobber.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm using Jobber. So yeah, it's, you know, it's great. It's a really good starter CRM, I think. And you know, it's really a good place to organize everything. You know, I can take payments right on it, credit card payments, which is awesome. You know, Venmo payments, you can track it on there, cash payments, check payments. And it's just everything's there. You know, I'm not going between different programs to try to figure out what's going on with anything. Like, everything is just on one app, one program. And the customers love it.
Mm.
Yeah, I get a lot of positive feedback. It looks really good. They can go on there. They can pay their bill online if they want to. You know, if they're not there and I have to leave. Or they, you know, they can set up appointments online. They can do requests online if their heat goes down, or if they want to put a mini split in this really hot room. He could go on my Jobber and and put a request in for that. The only gripe that I have about Jobber specifically is there's no way to track memberships.
Yeah.
So a big part of, you know, customer retention is doing some sort of a membership. You know, where you give them 10% off and priority scheduling and no arrival and diagnostic fees, you know, so there's not really a good way to track that on Jobber. So I'm kind of toying with some different ideas, like, should I stay with Jobber right now and then like upgrade later? Or should I switch over now? Or so I'm not really like 100% sure what I'm doing with that yet, but it's just, you know, part of growing.
Right.
And putting different systems in place, you know.
So what's the next big move, man? What are you looking to achieve this year?
Yeah, so the next big move is hiring someone full time. You know, I got a couple people that come in and, you know, they'll help me out if I need a hand. I got, you know, someone who answers the phones for me between the hours of 10 and 3, which is, that was huge. That was like a big lever that I pulled. And just not having to answer the phones, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Because I'm not good at answering the phones.
Yeah.
You know, I'm usually in a basement, you know, phone rings, you stand up quick, smash your head into the floor joist.
Well, someone in your industry too, like you know, answering the phone's not ideal because then they want you to solve their problem, give them a price.
Yeah, over the phone.
Everything over the phone.
Yeah.
And when you tell them you're not going to do that, they're typically not happy.
Yeah. Right.
Or
yeah.
Schedule them and you're, you know, you've got one bar and you're in somebody's basement. You can't. Yeah. Your
like, can I call yeah. you back later? Yeah. When I get back to service
and they're like, I have a problem now.
Yeah. 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 That was horrible. So yeah, hiring her, that was amazing.
Mm.
So yeah, I think, you know, definitely by the end of the year, I want to have a full-time tech in the field and possibly a full-time CSR in the office is what I'm shooting for.
Okay.
If I could get up to 2 techs in the field, that would be fantastic. I'm not really sure if it's possible or plausible right now.
Anything's possible.
That's right.
Anything is possible.
Yeah, not with that attitude. Yeah. It's possible.
It's definitely possible.
Yes. Yeah, it is possible for sure.
So then, well, let's talk about it. What do we get? Like, how do we get there?
What's yeah, the plan? I think really... you know, call volume is a big one for me. Capital in the bank. I'm getting the systems in place to hire somebody.
Yep.
You know, I have a payroll company set up with all the goodies, the gazintas.
Yeah.
You know, the 401k and the health insurance and all that stuff. They're on standby. I have a van. I just got it wrapped.
Nice.
So dropped a lot of money on that.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks good.
Yeah, starting to put some tools in it, so I don't have to, you know, keep borrowing people's tools.
Yeah,
you know, the more expensive tools.
Yeah, good idea.
So, I mean, you're talking, you know, to get a van, get it wrapped, get it full of tools, get somebody in, you know, in the seat. I mean, you're looking at $150,000-$175,000.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean. That's a big chunk of money.
Definitely. Definitely a big nut.
Yeah. So it's, I'm getting close.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm getting pretty close. I got a guy who's working for me kind of like part-time, and he comes in, gives me a hand, and he's like been estimating jobs for me. So, you know, I basically broke it down to him like, dude, let's get some work.
Yeah.
You know, let's get some more work. I got a whole ton of leads coming off of, you know, the heating season where it was like, well, let's just get this thing going for now. And then why don't we change it out in the spring type stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Follow-ups.
Yeah. So we're doing a lot of follow-ups right now. Mm. So we should, you know, we doing a lot of quoting and how, you know, let's look at this, different options. And then, so we're going to be reaching back out to people pretty soon to say, hey, let's, you know, here's some quotes, you know, let's start getting some stuff going for, you know, the spring season.
Yeah.
You know, right. So I think when that happens, we get a couple contracts signed. It's going to be go time.
Right.
You know, get them in the seat, you know, get them all set up.
Yeah.
You know, let's get out there and let's start, you know, making people happy.
Yeah. Dude.
You know,
and then it's got to keep them busy.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, I mean, measuring and, you know, keeping an eye on where those leads are all coming from, your marketing and then having all that marketing stuff figured out, that's going to be important.
Yeah.
Because then you got to keep the work. They got to stay working.
Right. So yeah. Then, my biggest fear right now, you know, being a one man show is like, dude, what if I hire this guy and then the calls stop?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, right now we're kind of going into our slow season. You know, this is the end of winter. It's before spring and it's, you know, we're starting to get into tax season, and tax season is when people really start holding on to their money.
Yep.
You know, they start getting nervous. So like selling jobs is, you know, it gets quite a bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's definitely, you know, been tossing around in my mind and keeping me up at night.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
can you keep enough work for yourself?
Oh yeah. So yeah. Then right now I have just too much work for myself, but not enough work to hire someone full time.
So what if that guy who was full time made enough money to pay for you?
Well, yeah.
And then you only work part time so you can build the business.
That's the flip side of it. Yeah. And that's what you think of is, you know, can I bring this guy in and, you know, maybe because I'm working so hard, there's stuff that I'm missing that he could be capitalizing on. But like, maybe I'm just trying to get to the next job because I have so much going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you got to kind of look at it from a 10,000 foot view of when do you pull the trigger?
Right.
You know what I mean? So for me, it's a factor of call volume.
Yeah.
I've been saying that when I have on average 2 calls coming in a day and a certain amount of money in the bank, that's when I'm going to hire somebody.
Okay. So how much money is that?
First I said 50 grand, then I dropped it to 40 and then I dropped it to 30. So somewhere between 30 and 40, I think I'm going to do it.
Why do you need the money?
Well, because here's the thing. When you hire someone, mm-hmm. and when you want to bring this quality of work to your customers, it's something that I need to make sure that they understand, mm-hmm. and that most really good techs want to bring this level of customer service, mm-hmm. to their customers, right?
Yeah.
Like they want to take care of their customers, mm-hmm. because they talk to them face to face, like you and I are talking right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they want to like provide the best value for them, you know? So, and I want to make sure that I can train them in the way that I do things so that they can provide the best value, but also the company, you know, makes 20% profit margin on anything they're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I figured that, you know, I'd hire somebody and then they would ride around the van with me for a week. And then I would show them, you know, this is exactly how I do everything.
Yep.
And then turn them over to their van. So that would be like a week to 2 weeks, depending on how long it takes. Right. Yep.
You could do it in a week.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I could.
You got the right guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The onboarding will be definitely.
Yeah. It is a little tougher, you know, because it's like, well, you know, we're kind of between seasons. Like, you know, there's so many different things in HVAC. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, it might take a little longer to like kind of get them to grasp like the actual process of everything.
Yeah.
Rolled mm-hmm. into one. And then, yeah. So say, you know, 1 to 2 weeks and then ride around with them in the van for a week, basically as their helper.
Yeah.
And let them really take the reins and just kind of be there for backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, hey, what do I do? What do I do with this?
Yeah.
Do this. Mm-hmm. Hey, go get me this wrench. Hey, go get me an oil filter out of the van. Yes, sir. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, yeah, so you figure, you know, you're going to bring them on and then you gotta carry their weight for 3 weeks.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
but the price should already be calculated for that. Technically.
It is. It is and it isn't, right? So when you're priced out, you know, so right now I'm priced out for 3 guys in the field and a CSR in the office.
Mm-hmm.
But that has efficiencies that I don't have being a sole owner and doing everything myself.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing everything as efficiently as that model that I'm priced out as is. Would it be?
So it's calculated as more efficient or less efficient?
So right now I would be less efficient. So right now I should be charging more than I actually am.
So there it is.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. So that's the key.
That's the whole problem.
That's the ticket. You switch the efficiency to where the guy can handle your pay mm-hmm. without you working and give him enough work to keep him busy no matter what. And then in that case, you can start working on getting more work. You can make your sandwich better so that, you know, you have the systems, you have the work, and now you're starting to get busy.
Right.
So once you're getting busy again, it's time to find another guy.
Right.
Because now you can get that next guy in, and then you're back in the office building your sandwich and making it better.
Better than everybody else's sandwich.
Definitely.
Yeah. And getting that membership program in place, like that's gotta be the top of that list, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Customer retention, that was a big awakening for me this time around. So like when I, you know, originally started the business, I jumped ship, you know, start the business in October, like right at the beginning of the heating season. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, man, this is gonna be great. You know, I'm gonna go out there and it's just gonna be no heat call after no heat call after no heat call. And it was for a while. And then, you know, I looked at it like, I'm going to have all these customers next year. I'm not even going to have to call them. They're going to be calling me to come back and, you know, do their tune-ups or whatever. And what happened is I think maybe 10% of them did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge awakening for mm-hmm. me that I need to have some sort of a membership in place, figured out and implemented so that way I can retain these customers.
Or at the bare minimum, a follow-up.
Right. Yeah.
Because they were probably all sitting there wondering when you were going to call them.
Yeah. Or that, not even thinking about it.
Yeah, we're
because most people, they don't think about the problems until it becomes a problem. You know what I mean?
Unless you're reminding them.
Yeah.
Right. So we talk about kind of the thread of marketing. It's target, offer, copy, timing.
Right.
So you got to be hitting the right target with the right offer, with the right wording,
with the right timing.
Right. So right. to me, it's you got to be setting up your shoulder seasons better with offers, whether it's right. planning future purchases. Like the people you have that were like, oh, let's take care of this in the spring. Like, great. If we book it now, like, here's what you get.
Yeah.
Right. Like you could already
we can
have
lock
your
the
spring
pricing
your
in.
Spring and fall yep. should be full 3 months in advance.
Right.
Right. And you can like you can build in a little bit of buffer. Like you can give them enough incentive to do it. But you gotta think about you're in a cyclical business, right? Like people
right.
when it's really hot and really cold, you get a ton of calls.
Right.
When it's not, you're inherently not gonna get as many. So how do you fill in as much of that revenue as you can? Because then you can really start to make a real cash flow forecast.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like, all right, well, I don't know how much business is coming in. When the hell do I hire somebody? Mm. But if you already had $30,000 booked for the next 3 months.
Right. So it becomes a no-brainer.
Yeah. And then you're just like, great, now I'm just perpetually recruiting.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So that's really where the membership piece is. I know it's a lift to make sure you can deliver on that.
Right.
But the opportunity cost is a lot higher than not being able to do that.
Yeah. One thing I started doing, I actually worked it into my morning routine is I'll do a reach back to my customers and I've been getting a lot of really good feedback on that. So I kind of look at it like I don't really have enough capital to like go to like a big name brand CRM and that has all that membership stuff built into it right at this moment. So what can I do in the meantime? Mm-hmm. And what I came up with is I have a 1 week reach back. Where in the morning, you know, I'll look at my schedule and what I did the week before. I'll reach back to all the people I service that week. And I say, hey, how did this work out? Is everything good? You know, let me know if you need anything. And they'll say, oh, yeah, it's awesome. Thank you so much. Or, you know, I think something's still going on. Why don't you come back and check it out? Okay, awesome. Then I do a 6 month reach back. And that is basically to say, hey, we worked on your system. You know, 6 months. I can't believe it's already been 6 months. You know, you know what I mean? And then, you know, in 6 months, we're going to have to do a tune up on your system again. And then I have a 9 month reach back where it's, you know, your tune up is due in 3 months.
Yeah.
Do you want to schedule early to get your spot locked in? And then I have, you know, a 12 month reach back where, hey, it's, you know, we worked on your system 12 months ago. We should get something on the books to keep you, you know, keep your system current.
Yeah.
And I've been, since I started doing that, I've been getting a ton of positive feedback. So
nice.
That's been working out really good for me.
And I love that that's not like that call isn't every single time just like, hey, let me try to sell you something else.
Yeah.
So I think what you could do is if you piggyback some sort of mailer cop like off like an actual offer like trying hey this is what we're offering
yeah
and then you call and you're not necessarily talking about the mailer off the bat but you're just checking in with them and they're like oh yeah I saw your you know I saw the offer you were making you know I would love to schedule that
yeah mm,
yeah
right? yeah that, 12, yeah that would be good
or on the 12 month follow-up that's when you can mention your membership
yeah.
or renew your membership because now the limitation with Jobber doesn't really matter because you already have it scheduled that they need a follow-up call. So at the follow-up call, you could be like, hey, you know, you bought this membership 1 year ago. You also did your tune-up 1 year ago. And you saved this much money with your membership over the course of this year by using your services with us. And our average ticket is roughly about this much. So over the course of the next year, you can pay for your membership with your savings and some odd or whatever. You can come up with something. But
right.
that instead of, you know, hoping that Jobber can have that, you have a card on file every time you save. Can you do a card on file with Jobber?
Jobber will save a card on file.
So then you can, you know, your CSR can, you know, be a big ticket in your membership
right.
with follow-ups, you
yeah,
know, but
right.
only at the 12 year. So, or at the 12 month.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not 12 year.
12 year would be a long time. To
yeah.
pay.
If you can go 12 years before an oil fire tune-up,
that's a unit.
You better keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah.
Or don't even touch it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and if your next hire is going to be a tech, I would talk to Sarah. Is your fractional CSR? Right?
Yes.
And for the record, fractional CSR. If you're new in the trades, like get one tomorrow so you don't have to answer the phones.
Oh man, it's so awesome. You know, it's like I don't have to bring her on as a full time employee. She literally does this for a bunch of other companies on her own, and she sends me an invoice monthly.
Yep.
And it's It is the best money spent.
Yep.
I've called you too, and I've heard her, and she's super professional. Yeah. And like,
yeah,
you know, she takes calls well and answers quickly. So
she sounds like a human.
Right? Yeah.
That empathizes with your problems.
Yeah. Cause she is.
Exactly. So, and that's, I think, you know, that's really huge. You know, going back to the mailers, one thing that we did do is we sent out a Christmas card to all our customers. Got a Christmas card with, you know, me and my family on it, basically saying, thank you for supporting our business. You know, we really appreciate, you know, you trusting us to you know, service and repair your equipment. And I got a ton of positive feedback from that.
Yeah. I've still got it on my fridge.
Yep. Perfect.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
So I think bottom line is, you know, for your next big move to hire a guy, I mean, you just got to like fix that efficiency number on your pricing, right? And then just start going for that. Because if you're priced for more than, if you're priced for more than you already, technically it should already work out.
Right.
Because one guy can afford all three guys.
Right.
So then as long as he always has work, he should be able to afford you, even if you're more expensive than the other two guys.
Right.
And so that gives you a ton of time. And you are the most valuable person in that whole entire operation because you have the drive to build that thing, create more of it, you know, make it better. And, you know, when your time's freed up, dude, anything is possible. So, and I think it'd be worth the even 2 weeks of sitting in the van with him and showing him the ropes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I wouldn't be scared to just dive.
Yeah.
And then once you start getting busy again, you jump in on it, dude.
Yeah.
You get back in your van and you start working until you find another guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And right. There's plenty of work for you to do working on the business, working on the membership program, working on the shoulder seasons. Like you've got plenty of work you could be doing outside of that. And I think it's important to look at your numbers from last year and do a cash flow forecast between now and, you know, the end of June.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to be like, all right, this is what I put in my pocket last year. And I would assume I'm going to grow because you've been out there, you've been doing the marketing. So at least have that. So you've got an idea like, all right, this is what I think I'm going to bring in. Then you're like, all right, I know I can afford this. And if, you know, it's a capital investment for a new employee for a little bit, but if he's running your system, he's going to be profitable quickly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If I keep the calls coming in, keep him working and he's not just sitting around, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I think it'd be well worth it. And then, I mean, on top of it, like you were talking about with the company where you were, you know, you had a team culture going, it's a great time for you to start building that because now he's only the one working. And when he needs something, you're always there. You're not just an owner who's sitting there and like, good luck, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to need help. He's going to call you to troubleshoot.
Right. Yep.
You're going to, you know, enforce that. And then you're going to show up to help him constantly.
Yeah.
And he's gonna, and typically, you know, cause you were in that position.
Yeah.
I was in that position.
Yeah. You know,
it's a nice feeling.
It is funny about, you know, the first company I worked at, like that company culture has stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
Every single company I've worked for, I've always been like that. No matter if people say, yep, 3 o'clock, I'm going home. They throw their hands up, they throw their tools and they scurry out of the parking lot. You know what I mean? I've always, ever since like that feeling of teamwork and like being a part of a family and being part of something bigger than myself, I've always been like the last guy to leave.
Yeah.
The last guy to shut the lights off. You know what I mean? And so I think that company culture it won't be something that I'll have to like really like try to make it be something. Like it just already will be.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's something I'm really excited to like kind of get back to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That camaraderie, that teamwork, that, dude, look what we just did. Nobody can do this. Like, this looks awesome. And it works really good, too.
Oh, yeah. And it'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, well, I know you're a family man.
You
know, you love your kids and being a dad. Like, you know, it. And once you have a team, like, I can see you just knocking out of the park. So.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm excited to see that, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, dude, so... You know, we've had a good discussion, and I think just the last thing is, real quick, what is one thing, like the most important thing to you that you would give advice to a business owner who may be like on their way to like getting started in a business?
Yeah, I think I think the biggest thing is managing your time, you know, and really understanding like how valuable your time is.
Yeah.
And getting, you know, a system in place where you follow the same routine every single day is huge.
Yeah.
You know, I literally consolidated what it would take me an hour and a half to do into like 15 minutes by putting it on a schedule.
Yeah.
And it's just slingshotted my business that much farther forward. So like literally like taking control of your time and time chunking and time blocking is the single most important thing.
Yes.
I think.
Love it.
You're a great student of time mastery.
Yeah. So yeah, man. Well, I mean, Matt, we're super grateful that we had you on the show.
Yeah, and this is awesome. I really enjoyed this. It's cool.
This was fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's fun to talk about, like, you know, where I've come from, what I'm doing now, and then get your guys' feedback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's good to, like, get an outside view in every once in a while. Like, real world. Like, not just out of a book or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And we all learn from each other, so that's the best part.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Where can we find you if we want to follow you on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever?
Yeah. So I don't have an Instagram because I was born in the 90s. My Facebook is just Matthew Byak, B-U-Y-A-K. And then my company is Elite Comfort. And that's Elite Comfort Pro on Facebook. So
cool. That's where you can find me. What about you have a website?
Yeah. My website is elitecomfortpro.com.
Beautiful.
So.
Yep. And that concludes our show. And if you are interested in coming on, just post in the comment section below, or you can send us an email at
DanielCallahan@actioncoach.com
or Lauren, Lauren, at PPWCT.com. And we'd love to have you on the show, talk about your business, see how we can help you, and see how you can help everybody else. So with that being said, hope you have a good day. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. This was awesome.